All right, I think we're ready to go.
You are at, is your destination on the path to sustainability?
Oh, that's the wrong session.
Yeah.
I'm quiet now.
No, I'm happy to present Greg Takahara. Not only is he a friend of mine for a long time, but he's been a part of Tourism Cares and their company for a long time, starting as a volunteer, a big supporter, a board member, and now the CEO. The organization's changed quite a bit over the years. I think they're going in a real positive path. So, Greg?
All right. Thanks, Dan. So, Dan's a little biased because many of you know his wife, Jessica, works for Tourism Cares. So he has a vested interest in what I have to say and the success of our organization.
I was supporting before I married her.
Just for the record.
But I met her there.
Just so you know, we are not a dating service. But if you know,
but you do care.
If things happen.
Can I sign up to volunteers?
Yes. See, if you're doing things towards the positive,
Yes. So I am. Many of you might know me. I've been in the industry for a long time. A couple of the panelists were all focusing on the number of years, and I was one of those other people who kind of just did one of these, like, you know, 30 plus years. It's crazy how the years have gone by. But I'm a lawyer by trade. So if I've learned one thing, you kind of start off with your disclaimers, right? So I'm going to start this presentation off with a disclaimer. And that is that I am not an expert on sustainability. Okay? I am a student of sustainability, so maybe let's call me an advanced student of sustainability. But I'm not going to be the professor up here teaching all of you about sustainability. I truly believe this is a journey that we're all on together. And collectively, we're all students. We're all students of sustainability in terms of kind of where we're at, where our companies are at. But there's one thing that's really certain to me, and that is that as an industry, we have to all come together and work on issues of sustainability. And so Dan mentioned a little bit about how Tourism Cares focus has shifted over the years. Have any of you been to a Tourism Cares volunteer event? Good. Lots of people. So as Ruth mentioned, you know, a lot of that rolling up the sleeves and, you know, painting fences and planting trees and, you know, and that was great work. And it was one of the things that attracted me right from the get-go was this ability to give back to the industry. Really just what a unique opportunity for us to come as travel industry colleagues, come together and go to a work site. We started in 2003 at Ellis Island, and I was there. And I remember, you know, and so many people talk about their passion and they talk about, you know, their career paths and how things happen, but, you know, let's face it, there's a little karma involved. You know, you end up kind of where you're at for a reason, and I truly believe that. And for me, there was just, I can remember a moment in Ellis Island where I was just like, this makes so much sense. We are such an incredible industry. We have the ability to do so much, and we're all together. And, you know, we like to say kind of in the nonprofit world or that when it comes to, you know, doing good, there's no competition, right? So here we were all at Ellis Island and at subsequent events where you're working right next to your competitors, but competition falls by the wayside and we all focus on what needs to get done, the job that is the task at hand. And the task at hand today is sustainability. So we're going to talk a little bit about sustainability. So Tourism Cares, as I mentioned, 2003 was our event at Ellis Island. We were actually founded in 2001 as a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Our mission, collectively, is to use the travel industries. We unite the travel industry, and we use its positive impact to help people and places thrive. So we'll kind of break down our mission. I mean, it's pretty simple, But Unite the Industry is really what we've done for 20 years. We've brought the industry together. We have 160 members who are part of Tourism Cares. It ranges. Our origination started with the merger of NTA, USTOA, and ASTA's foundations, all brought under one umbrella by Bruce Beckham. And so we have a tour operator, travel agency or travel advisor kind of origins, but we span the whole travel industry. We have hoteliers, we have OTAs, we have car rental companies, all are supporters of Tourism Cares, and of course we have destinations such as many of you in the room. So as I mentioned, we leverage the power of the travel and tourism industry to drive the sustainability of destinations. And we'll talk a little bit more about it, but I don't think I could have asked for people to plant better seeds than they did today when they were talking about how sustainability is really on the tip of everyone's tongue these days. I mean, how many of you, even if you think about a year ago, were even really talking about sustainability? Anyone? And for many of you who probably do, many of you may have kids, and I think that drives a lot of the conversation around the dinner table, because as was referenced earlier, the Gen Zs and the millennials are driving a lot of that thought. So how we do it? One of our board members, you know, we've talked a lot about how we've changed as an organization. We've gone from volunteerism, which has, you know, as I mentioned, just, you know, that really great feel good. We're going somewhere and we're doing good. But are we really creating a lasting imprint on the places that we go to? So that's the shift in the evolution that Tourism Cares has made over the last several years. But one of our board members said that despite the shift and despite the explanations that sometimes we have to give about who we were and who we are now, the one constant that has remained the same throughout all 20 years is that we've inspired participation. And Tourism Cares continues to inspire participation by all segments of the industry. And why it matters. We're going to talk a lot about why it matters, but it really, and I really appreciate the opportunity to get to speak in front of a group who's really invested in destinations, because it really is about those destinations and their local communities. And we'll talk about why it matters, how that all works. It really is this really great cycle, and I've got some visuals to show how when you invest in this, and you invest in local communities, and those communities thrive, that everybody wins in the end. And I think somebody said this morning, win-win-win proposition, and that's exactly what it is. Oops. So this was the graphic I was talking about. So when you invest in local communities and you contribute to them, those local communities obviously feel the benefit. And we will talk more about programs like Tourism Ready, where there's even a greater intersection that's being created between those local communities and the mainstream marketplace. That investment is felt by those local communities. Companies that do this investment obviously gain the benefit of having diversified product, and in particular, specifically, experiential, genuine product. The things that people, especially these next generations, are looking for. And when that happens, the travel and tourism industry remains strong. And in turn, as our industry goes, as we remain strong, that helps people and the planet thrive. But let's face it, our world is changing, and so too must the industry. And that really creates our challenge. And that's where we kind of get to these issues of sustainability. And, you know, these numbers are kind of sobering. You know, when we look at by 2030, I think the number is 2 billion travelers are going to be in 2030. And so we're going to need to absorb an additional 400 million travelers by 2030. So that is really pretty incredible. You know, I sat there listening to Fred, and NYC is a great supporter of Tourism Cares, and proud of the fact that, you know, a 10-year history, especially 10 years where Fred has been at the helm, and they've seen that continual growth. But what impresses me more is the fact that he's equally cognizant of the fact that that growth does not necessarily reflect only positives. With growth comes a lot of challenges, and it is those challenges of sustainability that really have to be addressed. And similarly, I'm very glad that he said that he's not fond of the word over tourism, and neither am I, for that matter. And that's really because what we're doing is we're associating a negative with our industry. And obviously, for all of those who are invested in our industry as we are and who have a love and a passion for our industry, we don't like to associate negatives. So even though it's a very coined term, we try to, as much as possible, not proliferate it, not, you know, get caught up in it. Some people say overcrowding, some people say capacity management. You know, there's a lot of different ways of talking about the issue without making it sound so negative. But there's no question that it is an issue right now. And as you can see from these various different articles that have come out, you know, it's not positive. And it's one that is very concerning to destinations right now. And again, much like how I talk about how, you know, there's this big circle about how when you invest in local communities, the issue of over-tourism is another circle. And it's another circle where all of a sudden, the locals are not welcoming the travelers who are coming into that particular destination. And that's a tremendous problem. You want to work with your locals to ensure that they're going to continue to have open arms and be welcoming. And that's part of the reason why we need to continue to invest in local communities. Single-use plastic. Let's start with the issue that's really kind of at the forefront right now. It's another issue that maybe 3-5 years ago was really not talked about very much. Now I had a conversation with Ruth in the elevator, and we talked about, well, this is good. The hotel has the plastic dispensers in the shower. But why was it that when Ruth went to go get a cup to put her toothbrush in, it was wrapped in plastic? So, you know, styrofoam cup as well too. So, you know, and we'll talk a little bit about this. I'm not particularly fond of shaming. There's no need to be shaming anyone. Everybody is at a different stage in their journey, but it's very evident that, you know, we have a long way to go just by these examples of saying, this is great, you've done this, but now you need to do X, Y, and Z. Those things need to follow. These are, and there's videos that go along with these relevant stories about how various beaches, everybody's seen that one story about how there was just this sea of trash that was just moving through the ocean.
Trash?
Yes.
Pacific.
Yes. You know, what's amazing about this too is that this highlights some beaches that really only a year or two prior to this story were featured by Condé Nast as one of the top 10 beaches in the world. And this is what's happening today. So this is very hard to read, so I'm just gonna kind of give you a snapshot of it. But what this is trying to represent is that this shows that climate change is addressing every segment of the industry today. So it doesn't matter what niche you're in. It doesn't matter necessarily, no one is necessarily immune from the effects of climate change and how that affects tourism. And so you look at this, you know, you look at these charts, pretty evident when we're talking about ocean and sea life tourism, pretty evident when we're talking about beach and coastal tourism, but specifically forest and lake tourism. One of the reasons why a lot of people say, especially those people who are very fond of the Tourism Cares legacy of going to cleanups, they're kind of used to us going to places that kind of don't look so great, because then they're saying, well, that makes sense. Tourism Cares is going to this community, so they're going to help clean up this community. So I've been asked the question several times, why are you going to Lake Tahoe in May? Lake Tahoe is a pretty pristine destination. But like Lake Tahoe, like everybody else, is focused in here on these impacts within forest and lake tourism. As you know, Lake Tahoe is heavily built upon recreational tourism. They are seasonal, they have a strong winter season, and they have a strong summer season. That winter and summer season has totally changed now. So there, the extremes of those seasons has become greater. Sometimes now they don't have snow, or they have way too much snow. When the heat comes, the heat's extreme, they're subject to fires, and there's a lot of water conservation issues relevant to Lake Tahoe. So beyond the pristine picture of Lake Tahoe is a lot of efforts on the part of the local community to try to maintain their resources and try to work on these issues of sustainability. So, as I said before, sustainable travel is needed now more than ever. One of the panelists said today, which I thought was great, and I don't think it really needed to be said, but I appreciate every time it's said, is that this is not just a contemporary passing issue. This is not an issue like we're going to, you know, see at association meetings for the next year or two. Everybody's talking about sustainability, but that's the trend, or that's the current hot topic, and then we're going to move on. No, this is a topic we are going to have to talk about for years and years to come. So let's put our heads together and let's work together to try to address these issues. Somebody at lunch today, I think he was here before, but I think he might have walked out, but Mike was at our table, simply asked the question, how do you define sustainability? Right. And it's not an easy answer. We've done our best to try to create this visual of a definition, especially as it relates to tourism, and that tourism that takes full account of its current and future economic, social, and environmental impacts, addressing the needs of visitors, the industry, the environment, and host communities equally. So that's a lot of words, okay? And what we're gonna talk about, and we're gonna do a little exercise, is that it comes down to making it personal to you and making it personal to your company as well, too. That's really the best starting point. I mentioned I have a legal background. I also have a background in insurance. I was in the travel insurance space for a lot of years. And it's really interesting to me how many similarities there are to the work that I'm doing now to insurance. Because if you think about it, our destinations are our most valuable assets. Do we have an insurance policy here?
I'm short of the revenue.
Yeah. Right, exactly. We don't necessarily, we are our own, this is a self-insured scenario where we have to work to insure our assets and insure our future. We can't simply go out and buy an insurance policy that says our future and our assets are going to be protected and that somebody's standing behind it. So that's what I see here. Sustainability. A lot of people, when they talk about definition, the first thing that comes to mind is the green aspect, you know, environmental. And certainly that's one part of the definition. But then further, there's the respect for cultural heritage. So it is preserving local indigenous communities. It's protecting the stories that come along with it. Those things are valuable when it comes to sustainability, because as I'm going to show you with the video I'm going to show you that comes with the work that we did in Puerto Rico, one of the people in Puerto Rico references the fact that when the hurricanes came, there were so many locals that were thinking about leaving Puerto Rico. The very thought for them of the fact that if Puerto Rico no longer had Puerto Rico,
Puerto Ricans, what would it really be as a destination? It would be devoid of the storytelling, it would be devoid of the culture, the food, all of the, you know, all of that that comes along with going to really any destination. And I think that's part of the reason why we have to be respectful of those local communities. Local, long-term socioeconomic benefits. So, you know, we'll talk about and we're going to work on the 17 UN Sustainable Development Goals. A lot of those are really heavy goals. I mean, you're talking about, you know, eliminating poverty, you know, by 2030. It isn't going to happen. But I think what we have to do is do our best to put our best foot forward. And this has been referenced, you know, the trends, the demographics about what millennials and Gen Zs are looking for. They want to work with companies that are responsible companies. They want authentic, genuine experiences. And they're willing to pay for it. They're also willing to use travel advisors to help them in their search to find and source these. They want to work for companies that are doing good. I don't know how many of you get involved in a lot of HR issues, but I spent a lot of time working on HR issues in my former job at TripMate. And attrition, boy, it's hard to find good people. It's hard to replace good people. It is not only hard to do that, but it takes time. It's costly. So if you want to keep talent in-house, then you have to obviously make this generation happy. And part of what makes them happy is knowing that the company that you work for is doing good. So this is a great quote by Taleb Rifai. Even the smallest actions can have a major impact if multiplied by 1 billion. We just talked about how the fact that we're going to have 2 billion travelers in 2030. So what we talk about a lot when we're talking about work in the impact space is, of course, ripple effect. And the fact that no matter the fact that sustainability as a term is a daunting term and everybody goes, geez, how do I get my arms all the way around this? What it truly is it breaking it down, and that's why we're going to do the exercise that we're going to do to try to make it personal, to try to get an idea on, you know, what resonates with you personally, what you think your company is well positioned to do, and then you start at that point. Because no one can really truly kind of get their arms around the whole thing. And his point about the ripple effect is that anything, any good work done exponentially, done by a million people, is pretty tremendous. So I referred to the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals, and there's 17 of them, and they were developed about, I think, maybe like 5 or 6 years ago with an aim goal of 2030. 2030 is suddenly 10 years away from
what
now.
What did the goals?
What's that?
What are these goals done?
Well, I think that they're goals, and that's the point. I mean, like every goal.
No, I mean, when did they put this together?
I think it was about like 6 years ago they put this together. So probably somewhere 2012-ish.
It might have been, weren't these the Millennium Goals?
Is that what it was?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
They need to be forecasted.
Kathleen, do you know? Yeah, I think they've been in kind of announced existence since around 2012, but they probably have been worked on, you know, obviously, you know, high level worked on from probably even the time of the turn of the century. But so these 17 goals are guidelines for tourism peers, and I'll talk a little bit about how we kind of break it down, because we obviously staff of 10. We're not going to address all 17 goals in 1 year. So what we try to do is we try to grab a handful of them, take about 4 of them, and make that our focus for the year. It doesn't mean we don't do anything else outside of that, but it means it gives us a little bit more of, you know, a true focus. But the one goal, number 17, is kind of our core goal, and that is partnerships for these goals. And as I mentioned, you know, when it comes to collaborating and it comes to being the travel industry convener, that's what Tourism Cares does. And that's our core goal, is to develop these partnerships so that we can try to work together on these goals collectively. Okay, so what is Tourism Cares and the industry doing to further the SDGs? So, as I mentioned before, we went to Puerto Rico in May of 2019. We have a Destination Disaster Recovery Fund. Our work is not first responder work. We're not the American Red Cross. We're not going to drop supplies down into affected areas. But what we do is we work in the aftermath of disaster. So we will work typically anywhere between 9 months to 18 months after a particular disaster, working to rebuild tourism infrastructure, working to fuel the economy, the local economy, back through tourism. And that's really our way of regenerating these affected areas. So we went to Puerto Rico at a time where, as many of you know through reading a lot of the stories, they needed help. They still need help. San Juan is 95% there, but what about the outskirt areas? You know, how bad of a shape are they in? Okay, so we went to a community in the south called Yauco, which is very close to Ponce. Mm-hmm. And we did some incredible work with some incredible people, so we're gonna tee up the video.
Que Tourism Cares esté en Puerto Rico porque queremos que la industria de turismo crezca, pero responsablemente involucrando a los locales. ¿De qué sirve un turismo en Puerto Rico si los locales están ahí, si que los locales sean parte del proceso y que los locales beneficien de esto? Mucha gente se está yendo de Puerto Rico, queremos que se queden, que vean el potencial de la industria, que vean el potencial de sus comunidades y que haya un crecimiento justo, porque si no, el turismo no vale la pena en Puerto Rico.
It's important that we continue to reach out to communities and for people to understand the value of what those communities mean to the destinations.
Today, 150 people rolled up their sleeves and put in amazing work, and over the course of the day, we really saw transformation happening in a very important place. So that was special, and I was happy to be a part of that.
We hope that after everyone that was here for Tourism Cares leaves and goes back home, they go away with two things. One is a renewed commitment to sustainable tourism within their businesses, inspired by Puerto Rico. And the second would be that they actually tell all of their colleagues about this great product offering that is not traditional and that very few people know about.
It's a place that grabs you. It's a place you always want to come back to. And Puerto Rico really is a hub of the Caribbean.
It's about using the transformative power of travel, elevate the brand, and spread prosperity throughout the island. And that's why partnering with Tourism Cares is so important, to get local communities involved, to help us not only attract more visitors, but spread that out throughout the island. Tourism Cares about Puerto Rico, and we really appreciate it.
I think when you look at social enterprises and their intersection with tourism, you're really looking into the future.
The cultural exchange that happens and the understanding that happens and the relationships that can be built by getting out into real communities where we go is just a really great and important thing.
El turismo externo a nuestras costas va a comenzar a fluir a Puerto Rico a nuestras facilidades y a otras facilidades y nos va a ayudar a levantarnos nuevamente y fortalecer nuestra economía que la necesitamos urgentemente. Tenemos el calor de nuestra gente, nuestro amor, nuestra gratitud, nuestra manera de ser con los visitantes.
Yes, yeah. So actually, Yalco and Jose are right in the south where the earthquakes have been felt. So actually, Carol Ann is not in the room, but CIDA just held their summit there. And one of the responses that we got from Discover Puerto Rico and the people down there was, you just don't know how much it means to us that you're even here. Because it's incredible when you have the representation of tourism professionals making that show that you should come down to Puerto Rico. We're alive and well, and we're resilient. The one exception, as I mentioned, when I talked about our Destination Disaster Recovery Fund, how we typically, you know, we'll work 9 to 18 months in the aftermath. Because we had such established relationships in Puerto Rico via the grants that we paid out to a number of the different organizations in Puerto Rico, we were actually able to extend some monies that we had to them for their earthquake efforts as well, too. So, you know, as I mentioned, it's a lot more helpful instead of focusing on 17 to focus in on 4. And what with Puerto Rico and last year, we really focused in on these areas. And you know, I can go into any number of stories, but the reason why we have that little logo there for Puerto Rico Sur is that they're a great nonprofit that we also partnered with, who's doing tremendous work in terms of creating different pathways into Puerto Rico to create authentic experiences. They are working on local community development. We've supported them. Many of you know about Jose Andres, the famous chef. We worked with World Central Kitchen, who did some incredible immediate work right after Hurricane Maria, getting down there and cooking up meals for affected families. We worked with them. One of the things that was really special about our event, and as I mentioned, it is about, you know, rolling up the sleeves, and you could see us rolling up our sleeves in Puerto Rico, but it's also about the education that we do in conjunction with our summits. The one panel that we had was an amazing panel that focused in on food sovereignty. As many of you probably know, with an island the size of Puerto Rico, they have to source about 70% of their food from outside the island. So after Hurricane Maria hit, they were obviously left with very little food source, only sourcing 30%. So what we were able to show through this panel is exactly how the community has worked together. And this was amazing because we had major hotelier sitting next to local farmer. And now they are all working together to help ensure that the next time, and let's hope that there is no next time, but the next time they're faced with an issue of food sourcing, that they're better prepared. The size of the island isn't going to change. So there's only so much. You can't go from 30% reliance to 60% reliance. But what they've learned is some positive lessons. So for instance, what types of crops can you plant right after a disaster that are going to grow quickly?
Quick.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, what other, and then clean water sources. Mm. How do we ensure that there are clean water sources? That's highly important. So now you've got a community that's working together, that's helping each other ensure. And this is going from the private sector to the public sector to nonprofits, everybody working together and joining hands. So that is powerful, especially when you see it in action. We had an inspiration exchange in October. It was another opportunity for us to focus in on the SDGs. We're actually
actually going to do a little kind of a little microcosm exercise of what we did on day one in New York City. We brought in a lot of local thought leaders whose companies are working on various sustainable development goals, had them come up and inspire the audience talking about their efforts within their companies. And then we went through some exercises. Then on the second day, everybody heard about their Tourism Ready program. We actually took some incredible FAMs where those who had actually gone through the Tourism Ready program took us out on tours and basically showed us their neighborhoods and showed us how now they are connecting with the mainstream marketplace. And that was a really powerful. It was more than just, you know, going on a FAM trip. It was really seeing the locals talk about how their businesses have thrived because of the Tourism Ready program. So let's get to work now. Dan's passed out to you all of the 17 different sustainable development goals. And what I'd ask is for you to get into some smaller groups, okay? But first of all, start just first of all. Start with yourself, just reviewing the document, okay? And you've got this up here as well too, okay? And what I'd like to ask for all of you to do is we'll take about 5 minutes, okay? And I want you to circle the SDG that resonates the most with you personally.
Okay. On a personal level, or what we do, our company, or what?
Okay, perfect. So I want you to circle one that resonates with you personally, and then one that resonates most with your company. Okay, they can be the same, they can be different. Okay, so it take 5 minutes to do that, and then we're gonna get into some small groups and talk it out here. Reduced inequalities or sustainable cities and communities.
Wait, where was the reduced inequalities?
10. Still working?
Are you part of the remedial group, or are you calling up? Or are you calling up the remedial group? Is everybody done?
Yes.
Okay, so we can break out into groups of three, okay, and then let's kind of talk this out. So talk about why you chose the SDG that you did, and specifically talk about how, for instance, why this could be easy or difficult for you as an individual or as a company for you to try to take steps to move forward this particular goal. Also talk, if you hear from others, about how that might be challenging. If you know that your company has done something toward, you know, a solution in that area, feel free to share that as well too. So we can break out into little groups of three or four.
Most people don't take it.
Conversation, and I hope that you guys will all continue to have these types of conversations because I think that's what's really important. Some of the things that I just kind of noticed was some people really showing some passion, which I think is great. I think some people talking about how, for instance, how some of the goals morph into other goals. So if you accomplish one thing, you accomplish another thing. So there is a lot of interconnectivity within the goals as well, too. I heard people talking about specifically how their company may be a little bit different, so they have certain challenges. So, and not to use Sandy as an example, Sandy, but Sandy said that they are actually a nonprofit.
Right.
So, and they work through franchising and then not through, you know, an ownership where they can create a top-down, you know, campaign, essentially. They have to engage all of their, you know, all of their organizations, individuals.
Which I felt like you had mentioned 17 is a core, so 17 is probably where it would start with us, just because, you know, we're like a government. They have a voice in their brand, they vote on everything. So once you get the buy-in, then obviously you move forward with your goals, right? And I felt we fit in 12 because, you know, we're doing some similar things like, you know, IHG and the window. But at the same time, you do have some hotels out there that are eco-friendly, believe it or not. Not a lot, but it's kind of cool.
Same
too, right?
It just takes time. It's cost. When it all comes down to it, everything that we're talking about up there is about cost in some way. Mm-hmm. And when you're dealing with the franchise model, cost is a dirty word. Yeah. It really is. So it takes a lot of time. And in a lot of these categories, in many cases, we are running out of that time. We know that. So we have to be better with that part of it, at least on the hotel side. Yeah. All of our hotels are starting to do that more. Our corporations, our companies are.
Yes.
Where, you know, we're green, our entire office complex is green. We've instituted a few other policies along the way recently. Although Roger didn't mention his name. We have been doing the same thing everybody else is doing as well.
So anyone else talking about challenges or things where they felt that they were specifically aligned, you know, to take steps? You know, we like to call this, you know, kind of our call to action phase. This is a great opportunity to say, I am going to go back home and this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do within my household, or this is what I'm going to do personally, and this is what I'm going to try to implement at my company. And these are powerful statements. I mean, we had calls to action that were done, for instance, in Puerto Rico. Catherine stood up and said, I am going to, and she's got her bottle right there. She says, I am going to eliminate plastic bottles from my life. I'm going to bring this to the NTA stage. We had a couple little wrinkles, unfortunately. We did bring it to the stage. Christian DeBoer, who was a speaker in Puerto Rico, owns a boutique hotel in Cambodia, and he's been a kind of a model for a little bit of what Paul's talking about, how upon first glance you focus in on cost. You say, how am I going to do this? I'm a boutique, you know, hotel. If I eliminate plastics and I don't make it easy for my guests, how am I going to ensure that, you know, that they're going to be able to fill their water bottles and so on? But he showed that campaign, in the end, is now more profitable than he ever thought he would be, okay? Plus, he's created this, obviously, this real following of people who really want to stay
at his particular hotel because of exactly that, of what they're doing. And it's resonated within their community. So Catherine said, we are going to bring him to the stage at NTA. Unfortunately, he had traveled to North Korea during this past year, and then he had some visa issues, and he couldn't make it to Fort Worth to speak. But we had Masher, who provided the bottles. We had Patrick speak to the single-use plastic issue and talked about how companies can start on their pathway to creating, you know, alternatives to having people stop using single-use plastics, incorporate bottles. What we did at NTA, we did a raffle. We said, at USTOA, we did a raffle because the year before we had given everybody bottles like that. And we said, if you brought your bottle back this coming year to the convention, or you could bring another bottle. But if you bring that bottle or another bottle, you're eligible to get into that raffle for a trip to Jordan. And we had great turnout in terms of people. And those people who didn't bring a bottle, they didn't get into the raffle, but they were able to get a bottle. So we're trying to promote things that way. Those are the steps that a call to action like Catherine made, you know, can really be the first formulative steps going forward.
I just wanted to mention one call to action. We were talking here about a few different things, from education, lack of education, to gender equality, and then we talked, because this is the Florida group, apparently, we're all in Florida. So we were talking a lot about marine life and those types of things as well that are really relevant to this area. But I think it all comes back to making sure, and I don't like bringing up politics, but I think we need to all vote and get educated ourselves on the issues that are affecting our area, whether it's things that are affecting red tide in Florida, or we were talking about FWC, fishing laws. Like, you know, we're a big area for people coming down to fish, but it's being made, the FWC regulative organization that controls our waters and stuff, they're making it harder for fishing charters to go out and take fish people out for tours. And so if you're not aware of those things for your specific area, become aware so you can vote on those issues that really are relevant to your tourism market.
So lots of different ways to take action. I know we're running up against time. I'm just going to throw up on the screen a couple of ideas. You know, when we visit a destination, we eat, sleep, tour, shop, and move. So, you know, that's really a great way of just saying, okay, how can we do all of those five activities in a more sustainable manner?
I was gonna say,
here's some tips that we like to give. Get to know social enterprises in your own community. What we did at NTA Travel Exchange this past year was, we know that, much like the Inspiration Exchange where I said we engaged the local community, social enterprises and nonprofits, and we went out to those communities, that when we were at Trex in Fort Worth, we really couldn't get out and take the people. So we brought the social enterprises to the show floor, and they were able to promote their wares. Primarily they were, you know, candles and stationery and great, and it was perfect because it was right before the holidays. A lot of people did their jewelry, a lot of people did their holiday shopping. But all of those six social enterprises that we brought to NTA had a focus on human trafficking. And they either now all employ victims of human trafficking, wow, or a percentage of their proceeds and profits go to human trafficking. So,
or to combat it.
To combat it, exactly. Thank you. Take a look at your consumption. You know, Fred mentioned food waste. Huge issue.
Yes.
Huge, huge issue. And that's something that we in the tourism industry can have a direct impact on. Share, just don't like. If you see an interesting social media post about climate change or women's rights or inequalities, share it so folks in your network can see it too. Think about where your goods and products come from. Understand, and you know, when we go back to the talking about what Tourism Cares does and how we leverage the power of the travel and tourism industry, it's remarkable how much power each of your individual businesses have. You have that ability to pick and choose who you work with. And that's an incredible leverage point that you have to be able to say, I want to work with companies who are like-minded. I want to work with companies who are responsible and engaged.
And if you do that, it's amazing. You know, that type of respect also, and this is part, and we don't have time to go into it, but if you're interested, go and look up B Corp or B Corp Lab.
Mm-hmm.
B Corps, what they do is they work through a whole surveying. So a company goes through their own surveying of their own business practices in terms of how sustainable they are. I mean, it's everything, A to Z, nuts to bolts, to certify them. But the thing is, the community itself is there to tell you, don't be daunted when you get a low score. We will help you, okay? Mm. We're also a community that will help you to work together, to work with other B Corps so that you can secure best pricing. So much like consortia and such, they use the power of the B Corp network to also leverage that as well too, so that your cost isn't so high. So there's a lot of ways to engage in that way to make a positive impact. And ask questions from your local service partners, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. When you go to your suppliers, ask them what they're doing. Ask them, you know, are they giving some thought to being responsible? You know, work with, you know, I always say, you know, I want to work with people I like to work with. And I think, you know, it kind of goes that extra step to say, I like to work with people who are thinking the same way that I'm thinking as well, too. And, of course, it is a journey. So as I mentioned, you know, it's a lot, but take steps, take small steps, and that ripple effect will emerge. And, you know, we can talk about those, you know, 2 billion travelers, and if everybody is doing a little bit, that's an incredible effect. Members of Tourism Cares will have access to our new revitalized Meaningful Travel platform, which is going to be our repository for education and for all the good work that we're doing. Hope you can join us in North Lake Tahoe, May 13th to 15th. We will also be in Colombia for our Global Meaningful Travel Summit in September. And as for those of you who were at the session before, we do a pre-IPW event that's going to be during the weekend on May 30th.
And that's Colombia the country.
Colombia the country. We are going to be in Medellin. Okay. And I will be here until Thursday. And thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.